as we start tonight, I put up just those two words on the whiteboard, love and obedience. What's the connection between love and obedience, if there is one?
You have to love God to obey.
Okay, loving God should drive our obedience to God. How does that carry over into other aspects of our life?
Love thy neighbor as yourself.
Okay, but what's the obedience part of that?
Everything we do, according to obey God.
Okay.
And this is how we live our life.
Okay.
Obedience.
Yeah, staying off his lawn and not just walking in his house.
Okay.
You're abiding by the rules.
Yeah, let's move it. We all have children. How does love and obedience relate in a family situation?
You love them and
you discipline them. So.
Train them.
Train, yeah.
Teach them, for one thing. Teach them.
Okay.
You teach the love of God, and we teach them. We want them to obey, but sometimes we have to discipline them, but we tell them we love them anyway. We love them.
But what makes our children obey us?
I teach them to be
Pardon?
By spanking them sometimes, I suppose.
Yeah.
Sometimes you got to show them who's in charge.
Okay. But what should be the... I shouldn't say I guess what, but love should be our motivation for our children. I mean, and I think, unfortunately, what happens is that it's so easy to, I want to say, not express our love, but to express the authority figure, to express oftentimes our frustration, to express outward issues that are either trying to force obedience or to threaten them to say, well, if you don't obey, you're going to be sent to your room. If you don't obey, you can't have the car tonight. If you don't obey, there's always conditions that are put, not always, oftentimes we put conditions on our children because of obedience, in order to get obedience.
You can't separate the two.
No, you can't. And that's why, in all of the parenting books and classes I've taught, what drives obedience in a child is their heart. If their heart isn't, if they don't see our love for them, if we don't understand what's going on in their heart, it may be an external obedience, but it won't be an internal obedience. They'll say, well, okay, if he's going to make me obey, I'll obey, but I really don't want to. I don't really want to do this. But they will do it just to avoid some consequence. They'll do it to temporarily appease you. And so, in whatever situation that we want to see obedience, it should be out of love, love for the parent, and God is our Father. He's our parent. And so we should obey Him because we love Him, and of course, He loves us. And that's when you get to the Word, as you said, we know He loves us, and He says, and the commandment is love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, and all thy mind. And as a result of that, He promises blessings, which we'll look at, in our lives. And if you had the perfect child, and your child obeyed you 100% of the time, I mean, wouldn't you want to pour more blessing and more blessing and more blessing upon him? I mean, if you give him the keys to the car and say, okay, be home at 11 o'clock tonight, don't do this, you want to pick up these kids at the right time, whatever. And if they do all that 100%, say, man, okay, you can have the car anytime you want. I don't know, quite, but, but you're more apt to do things that would bless them and more things that would help them mature and grow in the right way. But unfortunately, You know, just like when we don't obey God, what does God do to us? He disciplines us. He's disciplining us out of love because we don't obey. And if we obey, he promises blessings. The same with our children. We have to discipline them. We should discipline out of love because they're not obeying. But in that obedience, our children should see the fact that we love them. And so really, love is a driving force to obedience. And we should want to obey. Our children should want to obey because of the love that they see coming
that
from us.
That is so funny because that's exactly, my mother was such a loving mother. And she disciplined us, but and we knew we were wrong, mm-hmm. and she disciplined, and we realized that. And I remember when I was in my early teens, I was tempted to do some things, but I didn't do it because I didn't want to hurt her. I remember that's what kept me from doing a lot of things that I was tempted to do, but I didn't want to hurt my mother. I know it would hurt if I did it.
Yeah.
So it's just like loving God.
Yeah, because obedience is really it's a heart issue. Obedience should be as a result of love, and it should be out of a thankful heart for what we see, that how that person loves us. And you know, so when we come to Scripture, if you turn in your books to the to lesson 12, the very first. What page is that on, Audrey?
85.
85?
85. Okay. This page doesn't have a number on it.
Doesn't have a number.
Oh, okay, yeah. And my book includes other things. But just look at section 1A, which is, again, the call to obedience. You know, in Scripture, there's a call to obedience, and it's based on love. That verse, John 14:15. Did you fill that in, Audrey?
14:15.
Says, if you love me, you will
keep my commandments.
Keep my commandments. Again, that's obedience. We're called to obey, and the reason we're called to obey is based on Christ's love for us. It says, if you love me, if we truly love God, we will obey. If our children truly love us, they. Out of a heart of thankfulness for that love, they would obey us. And so Scripture is very, very clear that the obedience that we are called to exhibit is really because we have a love for God, we have a love for Christ, and He loves us even more unconditionally. And so we're called to obey. Called to obey Him, called to obey His Word, that is His commandments. And that number two there says, what is expected of those who hear God's Word? James 1:22.
Prove yourselves doers of the Word, not merely hearers.
Yeah. Yeah, so we're to be doers of the Word. And so it says, obey God's Word, do what God's Word says. And why? Because we love Him. And we should want to obey, His Word. Jamie, you want to look up that verse, Luke 9:23? Because if we want to be obedient to Jesus, we can obey Him, but what kind of obedience, or what does that obedience look like? And that Luke 9:23 is a familiar verse.
I'm getting there.
That's okay.
Some of the pages were still stuck together.
Oh, okay.
Dave got me this Bible while I was in church. I usually read the New International Version.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking for Luke.
Luke 9:23, yeah.
want me to read it?
Yeah, go ahead and read it. Yeah.
And he said to all, if any person wills to come after me, let him deny himself. It's got those quotations here. And take up his cross daily and follow me.
Okay, yeah, that's good. So, as someone who loves Jesus, someone that seeks after to follow Jesus, what is it saying it's required to do?
Deny himself and take up a cross.
Okay, number one is to deny self. How do we deny self?
Give up our old habits.
Okay.
Not what we want to do,
but his will is
for us. Not our will, but his will.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really to seek after God's will, what he desires us to do, and it may be giving up some things. I think we have to be careful that we don't see it as a list of do's and don'ts. Well, we can't do this, we can't do that, but we can do this, we can. It's not do's and don'ts. It's really saying, well, I want to do what I really, my heart's desire is to please God. My heart's desire is to truly follow his word in doing what he wants me to do. And if that means I have to change things in my life, then I need to be willing to do that. And so that's really denying self, because we, you know, there's a lot of things we want to do or enjoy doing, but maybe that's not the best thing of what God wants.
I think it's better giving up one's pride sometimes, too.
Oh, yeah. Pride, self-righteousness. Yeah.
You listen to Satan sometimes, get tempted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And then it says, deny oneself, is take up the cross, take up your cross and follow him. So the second is, take up your cross daily. What does taking up your cross daily mean?
Well, daily is willing to obey him, but sometimes, you know, sometimes you have to suffer. Sometimes, yeah. You know.
Yeah, it may be suffering. It may be just saying something that's just going to...
I think it means walking with the belief that we're... Because of the cross, we can walk with more freedom, mm-hmm. and no understanding that we're saved.
Right, yeah. Yeah, totally.
So we get to pick that up and walk with it daily. As Christians, our duty is to love Jesus, and mm-hmm. part of our duty in loving him is striving to be like him, which right. entails learning the Word,
right.
which involves living according to the Word.
Yeah.
So all of it, I think, is one big...
Yeah, all three of those together are really combined. And
do you think serving one another would be part of that?
Serving one another? It could be. You know, example, let's say that... serving one another, but all... Let's say there's somebody in church that, for whatever reason, you say, man, I don't get along with that person. That person really irritates me. We often say, I don't like that person. Well, but yet we're called to love that person. We're called to serve one another. And for us, it may seem like that we've got to take up our cross. That is, we've got to set our own attitudes, our own selfish attitudes and our pride and say, hey, this person is another believer. And I need to love that person. And it may be a difficult love. And so I think it's really putting aside the things that we don't, are just our feelings towards somebody else, whatever, and say, I'm going to reach out and love and serve that person and show that person the love of Christ. It's because it's not me that's going to love him. Christ is going to love that person, you know.
Christ loved us.
Sure, that's right, yeah. But, you know, you put in another situation, and he mentions it later on in here about, let's say you work for an employer, and that employer is really mean to you, you know, and you said, man, I got the worst boss in the world. What are you supposed to do?
Well, you have to obey you have to do your job.
Mm-hmm.
You do it. You're not really doing it for him, you're doing it for Christ. That's the way I look at
yeah.
it, when you do your job.
Yeah. Yeah, because
of Christ.
Yeah, because in your workbook later on, we'll look at it, but it says, what if an employee has an impossible employer? What should that servant or employee do? Well, it says, be submissive to your employer, you know, with all respect. not only to those who are good and gentle, but those who are unreasonable. Because God's word says that if we forbear, if we are willing to suffer in that situation, because we have to obey him, we have to respect him. Now, if he asks us to sin, you know, then we don't need to obey him. And we can give legitimate reasons on why. But otherwise, you know, we need to, again, and that's a form of love. That is where we're serving him out of a love for Jesus, you know, in a way that, you know.
And showing him the love of Jesus.
Right.
How we
sure, are. That's right. Yeah, yeah. So all of that is, you know, to follow Christ, we deny ourselves, we take up our cross, and we follow him. We do what, we treat people, we love other people, you know, the way Christ expects us to live him and love him in obedience.
We're all sinners.
His word, yeah.
You know.
Yeah. And it's really seeking after the things above. You know, then his word says, you know, seek ye first the kingdom of God. And if, again, it's to live as if Christ, you know, the way Christ lived and the way he wants us to live. And the thing is, that's hard to do in this world. Really hard to do at times. Because we can be looked down upon. They say, well, what are you, holier than thou? No. You know, and say, no, it's just, you know, it's, you know, the love of Christ that, you know, I'm
learned a lot of that in the work
world. Yeah. Yeah.
In military, too.
Yeah, in the military, yeah.
It's so easy when you're among Christians. Mm-hmm. Boy, when you're out there.
I guess the question comes up is, if that's the kind of obedience, if that's the kind of love, the question is, how can we become more obedient? How can we become more obedient to him than what we are now?
I think by disciplining ourselves.
Disciplining ourselves in what way?
I pray that I will be a servant. Mm-hmm. I do pray that I will.
How do we become more obedient in what, are you asking?
How do we become more obedient to his word?
We read it.
And follow. Pardon? There's only one way, is to study the word.
Okay. But somebody can say, well, I read the word every day, it's just really hard. It's really hard for me to, let's say, I studied every day and it's still hard for me to be loving and obedient to my employer because he's so rotten to me.
Well, that's, you know, I pray. I mean, you pray for the Holy Spirit.
You pray that the Holy Spirit would...
Because without the Holy Spirit, I don't know, I'd do, mm-hmm. I wouldn't be able to do anything.
Yeah, turn in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Looking at verses 8 and 9.
That's Ephesians. Oh, you're right, Ephesians.
No,
Philippians 4.
Okay. I'm using her Bible too. Yeah. So
it's bigger for both of us.
what I want to say is that what you said is being in the Word and praying, those two things allow us to do verses 8 and 9 of chapter 4, where it says, finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, what does it say? Dwell on these things. Think on these things. And then it says, the things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. So verse 8 is saying, the last part, it says, dwell on these things, think on these things. That is, God wants us to think on his word. So as we read it, we need to think on his word, we need to dwell on his word, so that when we come in situations, we can think about what is honorable. We can think about, you know, what's the right thing for me to do? What's of good repute? That is, what's going to be good and gentle and show the love of Christ? And it says, whatever is of good repute, if there's any excellence, anything worthy of praise, dwell in these things. And so it's trying to set our mind on things above, not on things of the earth. And the way we do that is to be in the Word and to be praying that the Holy Spirit would fill our hearts and our minds with His Word. And because as we think on those things, He allows us to really be obedient in situations based on what we know is true in His Word.
We even trust in the Lord. How is that? Psalms, trust in the Lord while you're, lean not to your own understanding.
Trust and obey. Wait. There's no other way.
That's the song.
Trust the Lord with all thy heart, lean not only
on
understanding, but all thy ways acknowledge Him,
acknowledge
and He shall
him
direct
and he
your
will
path.
Guide you. See, this correct. Is that's important to me because I always pray for the Holy Spirit to guide me.
Yeah.
I need the help. As I get older, my memory is just not as good, and I know in my heart what I was trying to say, but it's getting hard for me to just do it.
But, in situations,
we have to do it, what he says.
Yeah, and we need to have our thoughts become captive. That is captive based on what we know the truth in God's Word is. Because oftentimes we can think things, and we can think horrible things. We can say horrible things, but when we... through the power of His Word to bring captive, those thoughts so that they produce godliness, so that they produce holiness in our actions and in our speech. We have to dwell on God's Word. That's really, because I know I find that if I don't read God's Word daily, if I don't spend time, I can get edgy with my wife. She'll say something and I'll snap back at her, or there'll be a sharpness to my voice. And I think that's because I haven't started the day, or I haven't spent time in the Word that helps bring my thoughts and my heart captive to what He wants me to do. And that's being obedient, to Christ, because He loves us and because we love Him.
But I think you're right on there. If you really got to read it all the time, daily. Otherwise, you tend to slough off. And I know what you mean. You get...
We'll get complacent about it and go other directions.
I ask for it. That's why I always ask for guidance every morning.
And the thing is, we know we're going to fail. There's always going to be times when we're not going to do and not, what we should do. And that's just where we... we go back and confess that, and we come back to read His Word and to say, Lord, just, help me to keep my mind on the things of Your Word. Help me to keep my mind on, being obedient to what You want me to do in Your Word. And just continue to pray that the Holy Spirit would bring those things to mind. I also think another thing is, when you're in a situation and you don't quite know how to respond, just take a moment and pray. It can be 10 seconds. Say, Lord, I don't know what's getting a hold of me, but help me to control my temper. Help me to control my language. Just allow the Holy Spirit to bring captive your thoughts and your speech and your actions, so that we're obedient to what He's called us to do.
Sometimes it's better not to say anything.
Oh, yeah.
Count to 10. That's how I use. I don't know, my mother always taught, count to 10 before you say anything.
Yeah.
It's a good rule to follow.
Look at section 2 there. I think it's on the next page. I don't know where section 2 begins for you. It says, obedience marks a true believer. Jamie, you want to turn to 1 John, those verses, 1 John 2, 3, and 4. And then maybe, Paul, you want to turn to Matthew 7, 21. So 1 John 2, 3 through 4. 3 and 4.
Should I just start reading it?
Yeah, just go ahead and read it.
This is how we may discern that we are... I got the quotation from this Bible. It's all that we've made it certain that we are to perceive, recognize, understand, and become better acquainted with him. If we keep his teachings. It's hard with this Bible to get between that.
So I could go read the next verse too then.
Verse 4?
Yeah.
Whoever says I know him, but fails to keep and obey his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him.
It's not in him. Yeah, so he said, so the obedience marks a true believer. It says that, you know, if we've come to know him, then we will keep his commandments. I mean, if we truly know him, have a relationship, our desire should be to keep his commandments, because as if we know him, and we don't keep his commandments, then it says we're a liar. That is, says, well, then do you really know him? Because if we don't really know him, then the truth is not in us. And so it's equal that if we know God, we want to keep his commandments, and the truth is in us. If the truth isn't in us, then it's like, well, do you really know him? Because if we really seek after the truth, to really obey his commandments, it's an indication that that's where our heart is.
But I always like Peter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you really love me, Jesus? Yes, I love you. And he's so interesting.
But you don't, you read the sermon, didn't you? But it was interesting in that, you know, the two types of love that Peter was using, and then how in Jesus' last response, he used the word for love that Peter was using to get a point across to Peter that said, you know.
It's like he was going to be in charge of his own life.
Yeah, right.
But I just love him. I think he's just, he's so like us, isn't he?
I was going to say, he mirrors ourselves sometimes.
Right. And that Jesus, after he came back after his resurrection, they told him to go wait in the hill.
Yeah.
And Peter,
I'm going back fishing.
I'm going back fishing. That is so Peter, isn't it?
Paul, you want to read Matthew 7:21?
Okay. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does his will of my Father who is in heaven will enter.
Yeah, so what's the characteristic, or what's the characteristic of a true believer as one that will enter the kingdom of heaven?
He's not boastful about it.
No, but what does it say we have to do there?
Do the Father's will.
Yeah, doing the will of the Father. What's the will of the Father?
Study in his word, be faithful, obedient to him.
Yeah, the will of the Father is be obedient to him, follow his commandments, evangelize. I mean, everything the scripture tells us to do as a believer, be holy as I am holy. Go make disciples, obey my commands. That's the will of the Father. And so what characterizes us, you know, as a true believer, one who wants to obey him, is doing his will. You know, why did Christ come to earth? Christ came to do the will of the Father. What was the will of the Father for him? What was the will
of Jesus?
Yeah, what was God's will for Jesus here on earth?
To be our Lamb.
Yeah. To die on the cross, be the atonement for our sin, and to rise again, you know, the third day, and to pay for our sins for those that accept him and accept that forgiveness. That was God's will for his son. Jesus' will for us is to live as he lived, to truly follow in his footsteps. and to, again, we're, he was perfect. I mean, we're not perfect, but that's why through his word, through the power of the Holy Spirit, we have the enablement to do that, if even though we fail many times. But that's his will. And it's, you know, and in Scripture, you know, it says we're to be in the world, but not of the world. You know, so it, which tells us, hey, the things that the people in the world are doing that aren't according with his will, we should no way be doing those. Because we're here in the world because we're to evangelize, to disciple, to tell about tell others about him. But we're not to do the things of the world. We're to be separate. When it says be holy, the word holy means to be separate, be distinct. Scripture says that we're a peculiar people. Peculiar, I mean, it sounds funny, but peculiar means we're to be different than the world. Because Christ has come into us, Christ has changed us. You know, we're new. It says we're new creatures in Christ. The old has passed away, behold, all things have become new.
What he did for us is God cannot look upon sin.
Right.
So Jesus
took that upon himself.
So God sees us as sinless. Yeah. But through Christ. Yeah. That's tremendous.
Yeah. But I think the other thing that really characterizes us, I think, as a believer when it comes to obedience, is that we should want to obey. There should be a joy, a joyfulness in that comes in our obeying, wanting to obey what Jesus wants us to do. If we obey and we grumble about it, we obey and we're saying, well, I'm going to obey, but I really don't want to. Well, then we don't have a joyful heart. You know, we don't have a heart that truly wants to obey. We don't have a heart that's, we're not obeying out of love. We're obeying out of, you know, if you want to say, out of what is expected as a duty. And we don't want that.
You know, the worst thing for me is when I do sin and I hate the feeling. There's no joy.
The conscience takes over.
It's just horrible.
Yeah, and so you know we should want to obey. There should be a joy. There should be a peace that comes when we obey. And I think that's. I mean, if you've experienced that, I mean, let's go back to the employer. We got a really bad employer, and if we obey in spite of a bad situation, there should be a peace in our hearts to say, okay, I know I can't. I know this is difficult, but because I feel I'm doing what God wants me to do, I'm leaving it in his hands, you know, and for him to, for Jesus to work out, you know, the situation and to make it possible for me to, as a Christian, still show the you know, the proper way to serve that employer.
And maybe he'll wonder why you are that
sure,
way.
Yeah.
And maybe he'll... Why are you that way? And
right.
Sometimes you don't know how God's going to work through that.
No, that's right. And if everybody else is feeling the same way you are, but they're all acting nasty to him, and you're acting, you know, in a more loving and a more serving manner, you know, might get, he'll see that. The employer will see
why.
That.
Why are they, right. Is she different? But I think sometimes God can use how you act to maybe
draw them. Yeah, so I think we need to be sure that, you know, our obedience to Christ, our obedience to his word is not out of duty. It's out of love. It's done with a joyful heart. And it's one that others can see and say, well, why? And you say, well, because I love Jesus. And this is what Jesus really desires for me to do. Because it is his will that we, you know, that we follow his word and we have the right heart attitude. Because when we serve others, we're really serving Christ, and it's just shown through how we serve others.
I think the worst thing in the world is, I think when Jesus was separated temporarily from God, that must have been the awfulest feeling.
Mm. Look at section 5 of your book. It says the promise and blessings of obedience. Jamie, why don't you look up that first verse, John 15:10, and Josh, why don't you look up John 15:14, and Paul, since Audrey's got all the answers written down, Paul, why don't you look up 1 John 3:22? Because the question is, list some blessings that are promised to us if we obey God's commandments. As I said before, there are truly blessings and there are promises as a result of our being obedient to Him and to His commandments and to His Word. So John 15:10, Jamie, you got that?
Yeah, I've got it. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love and live on in it, just as I have obeyed my Father's commandments and live on in His love.
Yeah. So it says, we will abide in His love. We'll actually be living in His love. You know, and I can't even envision that. We'll be living, we'll be abiding in His love. I think that blessing is that God will be so pleased with us. I think His love in somehow will be demonstrated to us in new and different ways, whatever that may look like.
Even what we get here is wonderful.
Yeah, right. How about the next one? John 15:14. Josh, you have that?
Yep. You are my friends if you do what I command.
Mm-hmm. What does it mean to be His friends, His friend?
Kind of thought like a follower.
Maybe. Okay.
But yeah, it's kind of a broad term.
Yeah.
The song, what a friend we have in Jesus, all our cares.
Mm-hmm. Think of the person who, whether it was growing up or whatever, think of the person who is now or was one of your really best friends, whether that was in school or whether that was, you know, whatever. Someone who was, you could say, man, this person was really my best friend. Oftentimes, if you're married, that guy might be the best man in your wedding, you know, or your bridesmaid or whatever, but think of the person who said, man, this is really one of my best friends in my whole life. Right. Why did you call him your best friend? What characterized that relationship with that person?
Because he's always, say, been there for me.
Okay.
Or, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Been a helper and things, yeah.
And you could probably confide in him. You know, I mean, you know, you had something tough for you. You know, maybe you had a girlfriend at the time, and you know, you're like, man, you know, you wanted some advice. And so when that's just what came to my mind. It says that Christ will be your friend. Well, so there's a closeness, you should feel, man, he's right there, and I can go to him anytime. I feel close to him so much. I feel that he's with me all the time. And so I think, you know, it's His love, it's His closeness. There's a verse I can't remember. It says, draw near to Him and He will draw near to you. And I think that our drawing near to Him is being obedient to His commandments. As we draw near to what He wants us to do, He will draw near to us. So I think there will be a unique relationship or a growth in that relationship as if we would see our very, very best friend.
Well, you could confide in that person, tell him something that you know he's not going to spread around.
Yeah, yeah.
That's why that song is so nice.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Around Jesus.
Yeah. And He says He'll never leave or forsake you.
Right.
Yeah. It's like, basically, He's always with us.
That would be a best friend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 1 John 3:22, Paul.
3:22. Okay. If whatever we ask, we receive from Him, because we have kept His commandments and do the things that are pleasing in His sight.
Man, isn't that a blessing?
Yes.
I mean, the blessing, it says that we will receive what we ask of Him. That is, as we pray, and if we are obedient to His word, and if we truly show love for Him, that he will hear our prayers, I think, even more. Because think of the opposite. Think of if we're not obeying his commands, if we're off sinning, you know, and, you know, not that God won't hear our prayers, you know, if we cry out to him in a situation, but if we're just sinning and we're in a tough spot and we say, oh, you know, God, really help me. But if we're not living for him, if we're just, you know, living a sinful life, it's like we don't go to him unless things were really desperate. And that's why I think this is so true, that we will receive, you know, his, you know, what he, what we ask of him, if we follow him, if we truly love him, and we keep his commandments. Then I think he is. It's the same as when we talked in the beginning. If you had a parent and a child, if your child is off sinning and doing all sorts of things that you want him to do, and he comes and asks you to do something, a favor or whatever, what's the likelihood of you saying yes versus saying no? Probably a greater chance you'll say no. You say, well, if you're, you know, look at all the stuff you've been doing, and you want me to do that for you? You know, now, whether we say it that way or not, I don't know. But you know, we're just less likely because we just haven't seen them obeying, you know, out of their love for us and our love for them. And so I think God will, he can still answer prayer, but I think he wants to answer prayer within a right relationship that we have with him. So.
I think God's timing sometimes has a lot to do with mm-hmm. it. That's what I find.
Yeah.
Sometimes prayer is timing.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that's the other thing. You know, we can be obeying his commandments, walking with him, and he'll give us what we will ask, but it may not, like you say, it may not be right now. It could be a month from now. It could be, you know, we don't know what the timing is.
It's not our time schedule, but his.
Right, because, you know, he knows the end from the beginning, and he knows what's just right for us. But we have to be, again, the basis is we have to be walking and following his commandments.
I was reading a verse in another book about, like, even when you go through a loss, a loved one, or somebody for a cancer, or things like that. It's God is sovereign, and we don't always understand it, but He's doing this for a reason. He's shaping our life for a reason, and that kind of consoles me a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that knowing that He knows.
Sure.
He knows from beginning to end. And I always think he's doing this for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
And that always consoles me.
Yeah.
Maybe it's not even for me. Maybe it's for somebody else.
Right.
I don't know.
Right.
But it consoles me.
Yeah. Well, it should be. I mean, it should, because I wanted to, what this made me think of, you don't have to turn to it, Psalms 139, where it talks about, it says, O Lord, you have searched and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You understand my thought, our thoughts from afar. You scrutinize my path and my lying down and are intimately acquainted with all my ways. Even before there is a word on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it all. I mean, he knows what we're going to say before we even say it.
Even before the beginning of the earth,
you know, and he knows our path, and so his omnipotence and his, you know, omniscience is all knowing, and his sovereignty is so great that should give us a peace. It should say, man, I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I'm just going to obey him. I'm going to follow him, and I'm going to trust him. But again, trust and obey, because we really, because we know that he cares for us more than we care for ourselves.
What is it to say, don't worry about tomorrow, the Lord has already been there.
Yeah.
But you just said, I mean, like he knows all about us. That's a real good trust and obey. I mean, this is really what it really truly means,
right.
I think.
Yeah. Let's look at the next one, areas of obedience. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, there's five passages there. If we each take one, Josh, you look up Colossians 3:20. Jamie, you want to do Ephesians 5:22 through 24. Audrey, you do Ephesians 6, 5 through 8. You probably already have it filled out. Paul, you look at Hebrews 13, 17. And I'll look at Romans 13, 1. Because what we want to do, that it's, we want to fill in the blanks. That is, who is to, the thing is, who, whom, and who is to be obedient? To whom are you to be obedient, and why are we to be obedient? So these are areas of obedience that are taught in Scripture. So, Josh, if you read the verse and then answer those questions, who, to whom, and why?
Okay.
Right?
Let's see, Colossians 3:20. Mm-hmm. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord.
Okay.
So the who would be children.
Mm-hmm.
And then to whom, parents.
Okay. And why? Why should
it? And then because it pleases the Lord.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, I guess you could say, well, if all children would understand that, their family would be a lot, a lot more peaceful. But again, I think that's.
But children have to be taught. They have to have parents to teach them.
Yeah, because the parents have to teach their children that. And the parents have to model that. Yeah. I mean, the parents have to model that from the standpoint of their obedience to God. You know, I mean, to whom do the parents? The parents have to be obedient. They have to obey God and obey God's word. And they say, why? Because of the, you know, some of the reasons that we looked at earlier. Because the Lord promises us blessings. Promises his love, promises to be, you know, his friend, promises to answer our prayers. And so, yeah, we have to model that for our kids and teach that to our children.
For our children, it's the parents are like God through parents.
Mm-hmm. Correct, yeah. Because if all children understood that, you know, their obedience brings blessing, and is pleasing to the Lord. Again, the idea is to teach them and for them to come into a right relationship with Christ, because then they're not only pleasing their parents, they would seek to please the Lord. So yeah, that's one example of obedience. You know, who's to obey, to whom, and why. Okay, Jamie, read Ephesians 5, 22 through 24.
Subject to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, himself the Savior of his body. As the church is subject to Christ, so let wives also be subject in everything to their husbands.
Okay. So who's to obey? Who's to obey there? Verse 22.
Oh, you're asking me?
Yeah, I'm asking you.
Wives.
Okay, who are they to obey or to submit to?
Their husbands.
Okay, and why?
Out of love, as they would to the Lord.
Yeah, because the husband is the head of the wife, just as Christ is the head of the church. So they should love their husband, they should submit to their husband, just as Christ is the head of the church, and the church, you know, submits to Christ. So it's that relationship between Christ and the church is the same picture that is there for the wife and the husband. Now, people in this world have trouble with that. You know, they say, well, you know, this whole issue of submission. Well, I know if I talk to my wife says that in this case, the husband has a more difficult job. Even though it says, wives, submit to your husbands. Well, because the answer is because it says because the husband is the head of the wife, but just as Christ is the head of the church, okay? Because but it's easy for the church. It should be easy for the church to submit to Christ because Christ loves us. He loves us so much he gave his life for the church. Well, if the husbands were willing sacrificially to love their wives as Christ loves the church, it's easy for the wives to submit to the husband.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah. I mean, If the husbands truly treated their wives in every way, in unconditional love all the time, being humble servants, as Christ did for the church, man, the women's got it easy. I mean, because they want to submit.
Yes. I was listening to Nancy DeMoss once about, you know, how about if a godly wife has an ungodly husband, mm-hmm. but we are supposed to still.
Mm-hmm. Try to get along with
them. Well, you still, because you obey him up to a point, correct. Unless it's against God.
Right.
But by being with him could eventually bring him.
Correct.
Right. I actually saw that happen.
Really?
Last year, yeah.
Really? In real life?
The dad was like totally against church and like Christianity, mm-hmm. like swearing a lot in front of his kids for like 10, 12 years. And he started to come to church.
Really?
Yeah. And now he's, you know.
Isn't that something? Well, sometimes it takes time.
Well, Audrey, I think just if you turn over to section C in that same, just paragraph C, it says, what should a wife do if her husband is an unbeliever? Yes, as wives, be submissive to your husbands, so that even if any of them are disobedient to the word, they may be won without a word by the behavior of their wives. So, yeah.
Because Nancy, you know, she's a woman, so she,
right.
You know, I listen to her sometimes, sure. too, how, you know, women should, yeah. you know.
Okay, Audrey, Ephesians 6, 5 through 8. You've got the answers. Who is to be obedient?
A slave.
A slave,
yeah.
Okay.
To his master.
To his master. To whom is be his earthly master? Okay, why?
Well, ask the Lord whatever a good thing man does, he will receive back from the Lord.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, the Lord says that if, you know, that whatever good we do, you know, we'll come back. You know, again, if we reap what we sow. If we sow, even to an earthly master, we sow good things. The Lord will reap good things back from the Lord.
Just what happened in that
situation.
Yeah. That situation,
for that
yeah.
wife.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Then Hebrews 13:17. Paul, you want to read the verse?
Yeah. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with grief, for this would be unprofitable for you.
Okay, so who is to obey? In that verse, who's the one who's obeying whom?
We are.
Who's we?
Well, all of us.
Yeah, Christians. And, Christians, and who are they obeying?
The leaders.
Okay, the leaders of the church, and why?
Because they're watching over us.
Yeah, because they watch over your souls, and the leaders of the church will give an account.
More of an account.
A greater level of account. The elders of the church, the leaders of the church, the responsibility is to watch over your souls, watch over your spiritual souls, and, you know, to have an input into your spiritual maturity, because someday, that's our responsibility by taking on that leadership within the church. And I can just tell you that leaders take that seriously, because we will stand before the Lord and give an account of how we have shepherded, how we have led this, you know, body of believers.
See, when I was with the Lutheran Church, they had elders, but I never really
conferred with them.
I never heard much about them, but I always thought that was the pastor, you know. Mm-hmm. But actually, that's a shared responsibility.
Yeah. Right.
Which is wonderful.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and then it really has to be, because, well, that's why, I mean, Jamie, that's why we have these 8 adult classes. We call them adult Bible fellowship groups. Is that when you have a congregation of 750, 800, which includes their children, we cannot shepherd, we cannot watch over the people's spiritual lives of 800 people. We have to break it into smaller groups. And so each of those classes, high school, middle school, and the other adult classes, are the areas where those leaders, you know, are trying to watch and to shepherd you know, the lives of those believers. And so, yeah, the 60, 65 folks in my class, it's my responsibility to know how they're doing and to come alongside them and to shepherd them and to teach them. And so I don't worry about the others in the other seven classes because that's their responsibility. Newcomers coming in, yeah, then you pick up on those new ones and you try to get them in a class and you shepherd them.
You know what it felt like when I first started here and was, you know, in KBF class? It was almost like a church within a church.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. But a church this large, it really has to be. Really has to be.
And you really got to know intimately people.
Yeah.
And you were taught. That's why when it's a shared responsibility, I think it's so...
Mm-hmm.
So helpful. It was to me.
And much more effective.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Spread the duties around because now that one person can do everything.
Right. Let me just read Romans. I had Romans. Romans 13:1 says, every person is to be in subjection to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those which exist are established by God. So it says every person. Now every person, I believe, you know, those are believers. He's talking to believers that we are to be subject to the governing authorities. That is, we need to submit to the governmental authorities that are here on earth. The police, as much as sometimes we don't like to, but we are to submit to them. And why are we to submit to them?
Because that's what God's word says.
Well, it says because God is the one who established government. It says, where there's no authority except from God, and those which exist are established by God. So God is the one that really established the governmental authorities that have been established over time on this earth. Now, yeah, we have political elections, but again, we have a say in that. It doesn't always go the way we want to, but the government structure and the authority structure, we have to submit to it. If everybody did their own thing, it would be chaos.
Yes.
Just going back with the minor prophets, you mm-hmm. know, how, you know, they have to submit.
Yeah, right.
Either way, they've got to submit, right. You know, in order for things.
Yeah.
But the lessons learned there.
Right, yeah.
And God, what really helped me is watching this country deteriorate.
Mm-hmm.
Is that I have to remember that God put him
control.
In.
Yeah.
And maybe it's a punishment for this nation. He's mm-hmm. given us over to, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like he used to punish Israel. I have a feeling that we are being punished.
Yeah.
You know, you can just shake your...
We're in.
Your God just... Oh, I feel like this country is in judgment. I think this is what's happening.
Well, I think it becomes more and more so, and especially when you get to the tribulation, you know, there will be great judgment on the earth. But, you know, like you said, God sets kings up and God takes them down. And, you know, he's sovereign. He's, you know, he allows things to happen for a reason.
Just like Saul.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Why don't you just read Psalms 40, verse 8, which, you know, it says that we should have every Christian should desire to obey God. And Psalms 40, verse 8 says, I delight to do your will, O my God. Your law is within my heart. And so when we think of obeying God, when we think of obeying his word, again, we do it out of love. We do it because he loves us. But it says that I delight, you know, to do your will. Again, getting back to our heart, that we should be a joy and delight. Because, why is because his word is within our heart. His law is in our heart. And the Holy Spirit should take that word and impress it so a way that we will just want to obey him.
You know, I like David because we do feel, he had all the feelings we have, mm-hmm. went through all the things. He's a real... good role model, mm-hmm. I think.
Yeah.
I think Second Chronicles says what we should be doing this particular day.
Do you think David was a good, I mean, I feel like I can relate to him.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, David, well, obviously said David was a man after God's own heart. But yet, you know, he still sinned. Yeah,
like we do. I mean, yeah. I can feel, I mean, I just can relate to David.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's why when we read through the Psalms, on which David wrote so many of those, that I think we can relate to situations that David was in. We can relate to the feelings that he had.
Yeah, the feelings.
And, yeah, I
think you can learn a lot mm-hmm. through that.
Right.
I go to the Psalms a lot mm-hmm. when I have something bothering me. Because he always has those feelings.
Yeah. I guess maybe just the final question is, just as you look at your own life, how can you be more obedient to God in your life?
Read the scriptures. Yes.
Just keep read the word? Reading and mm-hmm. obeying. And mm-hmm. The word, when I have something bothers me, I always go to the word. I always find my comfort in it. When I don't know what to do, sometimes I go to the word. You know, what should I do here? And I always find the answer there, and I have found that. That's where I go now, because that's where I usually, if I don't know something, or I don't know what to do, or, and I find my answer there. In prayer.
Yeah. Josh, any thoughts from you?
Yeah, I think I like a lot in the Bible reading, mm-hmm. honestly. You know, just not where it should be, for me at least. So that's where I need to improve. Yeah.
So. Jamie, any thoughts from you?
I would think looking for opportunities to shine in everyday living.
Yeah. Yeah. I think another way is, and it's not, I'm going to say reading God's word is obviously correct. I also think that coming under the teaching of God's word, whether that's, you know, listening to, you know, Stanley on TV, listening to somebody on radio, getting a DVD or something and listening to the word literally being preached, getting a podcast, you know, on the internet, coming to Sunday services, coming under the, you know, the hearing of the word, because that's all a part of it, is understanding God's word and saturating our lives with God's word.
Even the fellowship.
Oh, yeah.
Believers is tremendously uplifting.
Yeah. You know, even coming to classes like this or going to an ABF class where you can share, where you can learn. And because I think the Holy Spirit, you know, speaks to us through all of that. I mean, it's speaking through His Word, but it's hearing His Word, it's reading His Word, it's meditating on His Word.
Well, like you said, even hearing, like, MacArthur every day, or just listening, and you get it from all over.
Yes.
And I have learned a lot just from several things.
Yeah, but you know what that requires is it requires us to discipline ourselves. It's these, you know, it's like maybe if you're riding around in your truck and you know you're listening to, I don't know, country music, you're listening to talk radio, and it's saying, well, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to get some CDs from MacArthur or whoever, and I want to pop them in there, and I'm going to listen to it. Or it's going home at night, and, you know, instead of sitting down in front of the TV and, you know, flipping channels, and, you know, say, hey, okay, in the next hour, 30 minutes, I'm going to sit and listen to, you know,
I'm always sitting in my,
you know, to a podcast or whatever. So it's not that you have to 100% do that, but you want to look for those opportunities that are sort of possible downtime or possible just time when you're, you know, you're driving someplace or whatever and relaxing, and you say, hey, just saturate your mind more with God's word. And because that's what Philippians 4:8 says, think on these things, dwell on these things, because then by having that word in our mind and in our heart, it just helps us to be more obedient.
And I find myself wanting to do it.
Oh, yeah.
It's not like I just do it, but I want to, but I learn so much
right.
by all
Yeah.
And even the beautiful music on BCY is uplifting.
Yeah, and the analogy I would use is, and that's a good point, Audrey, is that, you know, the more we do something, number one, the easier it gets, and the more we want to do it. You know, think about exercise. You guys go to Razor Sharp.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Let's say you stop doing that for 6 months.
Yeah, I don't even like doing that.
Yeah. Well, but...
I don't even like that.
Okay, so you get away from 6 months. How difficult is it to start again?
I don't know.
It's very difficult.
Been through
yeah, it's difficult to start again.
The reason I know that is I was participating in track and cross country when I was in high school. And we usually would start, say, end of July, first part of August, to get in shape for cross country. Right. And then in maybe April, May, we'd start with track. Yeah. So even though that time between... You aren't doing anything, it's pretty hard to get back into it.
Yeah, it's very hard to get back into it. And so that,
I see where you're coming from now.
Yeah, so that's why I say, you know, if you're, you know, the more you do it, the easier it is to do it, the pattern is there to do it, and you enjoy doing it. I just know when I trained for Nepal, man, it took a long time to get going. But once I got going, I enjoyed it, and I was doing it. I had a little bit of a break coming back, and it was hard even after 2-3 weeks to get back to running. I was running 3.5 miles 3 times a week. And I'm just now getting back at it, and now I'm enjoying it again. But man, that first week or two back, it was drudgery.
Why am I doing this?
Yeah. And so I just say, you know, it takes discipline. It takes saying this is a priority. And so, you know, the desiring to read God's Word more, yeah, but, you know, I would just say, just really get it back at it, and as difficult as it may be, whether maybe if it's getting up early or if it's making sure that you've got some CDs in your truck or in your car or whatever, you know, help facilitate, you know, that listening and that hearing, because the more you do it, the...
But I enjoy it.
Hmm.
And I enjoy swimming. Yeah. To me, it is not a...
No.
I thoroughly love it.
Yeah.
Always have. So to me, it's not a
drudgery.
Right. Yeah. And that's what we would find with the Word of God. And that's what. And the more we read it, the more we would want to obey it, because of our love for Him. So obedience as part of our Christian life. It should be part of our Christian life, because, you know, because we love the Lord with all our heart, soul, and mind, and because He loves us. And He promises that if we keep His commandments, you know, He will bless. He will answer our prayers. So, good. Let's close. Father, thank You for the promises in Your Word. That, Lord, first we thank You for Your love. That, Lord, we love You because You first loved us. And, Lord, we thank You that You sent Your Son to die on a cross for us, that we may have eternal life, and that You paid the penalty of our sin. And so, Lord, we thank You for that love, that as a result of that, Lord, we want to love You, we want to obey You, we want to follow You, we want to give up our pride, our selfishness, our own righteousness, and, Lord, truly submit and be obedient to You and to Your Word. So, Lord, we pray for the Holy Spirit to continue to give us the appetite for Your Word. Pray that Your Holy Spirit would... just open up our minds to the truth of Your Word that we haven't seen before. And Lord, I just pray that You would help us to be more disciplined in these areas where we may often fail You. So Lord, we again thank Thee for Josh and Jamie and Audrey and Paul. I pray that, Lord, this week that they would be able to be in Your Word, that they would again have a greater appetite for Your Word, and that they would be obedient to Your Word, and that, Lord, we would think and dwell in those things as we seek to live for You. So thank You, Lord, for what You're going to do in our lives this next week. In Jesus' name.